Good morning. Every speech writer is told one thing by all the experts. When you start a speech, it's very important to get a hook. Because if you get that hook, you draw people in and you've got their attention. And the reality is, of all the things that people remember about the speech, the beginning is one of the most important parts. That's the part people are going to remember the most. And so,
shock value is important. Case in point, how many of you remember my sermon from this past Easter? Remember what I showed up wearing? Santa Claus. Shock value. Nobody was expecting the pastor to come on Easter Sunday morning dressed up like Saint Nick, were they? In fact, there was a guy at a game that I was at yesterday who said, "Man, I saw that video where you dressed up like Santa Claus for Easter. It's October." People still remember. Why? Shock value. Because we tend to remember things that surprise us. And there is actually a scientific reason for that. Because, you see, when we are surprised by something, and when I say surprised, I don't necessarily mean scared. I mean, I realize that was kind of a freaky mask, you know, with the whole clown thing. Sorry for people afraid of clowns. I apologize. That's the scariest thing I can imagine, too. But the thing is, when we're surprised, when something happens unexpected, norepinephrine, which is a hormone. Thank you, medical people that we have tons of in the congregation, is a hormone that comes out of the locus coeruleus. That's probably not said right, but that's where it comes from, which is in your brain stem. And when that floods, what happens is we are more attentive and ready to learn. And so when we are shocked by something, we're more likely to remember it. Think about it. Think about the times in your life where you remember the things that stood out. I mean, we're alive for thousands of days, right? Tens of thousands of days, hopefully. And do we remember every second of every day? No. Because most of the time, things are just normal. We don't remember the normal. We remember the extraordinary, the things that are outside of bounds, right? The things we didn't expect to happen. I mean, we don't even remember all the Christmases that we've had, but there are some that we remember. Why? Because we got something surprising. Something happened that was out of the ordinary. Something special happened. Norepinephrine coming out of the locus coeruleus, memory. We remember. I mean, there are other times. If your boss came to work wearing, I don't know, a clown mask, you're probably going to remember that because it's shocking. It's surprising. And so when speeches are made or stories are told, that shock value is helpful for people to remember. The parables that Jesus told filled with shock value. Why do you think they're still being told 2,000 years later? And it's not like when Jesus told them the first time, there's a scribe sitting down, writing down what he said. No. He remembered. He remembered the story. Why? Because it was filled with shock value. I mean, the parable of the prodigal son. A son says to his dad, "You're dead to me. Give me all my inheritance. I'm going to go live on my own." That's pretty rude. It's pretty shocking that the dad, when the son came back, was like, "I love you." Or the parable of the lost sheep. One sheep goes missing out of 99. A sensible shepherd would be like, "I still have 99. But no, Jesus tells of the good shepherd that goes to find the lost one. You see, the good Samaritan, the very last person anybody would expect to help out, was the person that did. Shock value. And let me tell you, folks, today's parable filled with shocking things. Filled with them. Starts out, Jesus tells about a king. And the king invites people to his son's wedding. Now, We don't have kings and queens here in the United States, but we're kind of enthralled by them. And so now anytime they have something big, it shows up on our television and we get to watch it. And so let me tell you, if any of you were invited to a royal wedding, that would be a big deal. And let's be honest, just average Joe Schmo from off the street, he ain't gonna be invited to a royal wedding, right? I'm not being invited to a royal wedding anytime soon. And if you are, I'd love to know why. But, you know, that's who's invited. And that's no different back then either. It was the king's wedding. And so what was shocking was these important people, none of whom were more important than the king, said, yeah, I don't think so. I'll pass. That's pretty insulting to the king. I mean, it's not just a random party. It's the king's son's wedding. And they're like, no. And it's not that they couldn't go. It's that they didn't want to. They just blew it off. And then he sends a second round of slaves to get them. And you know what they said? Yeah, I'm going to work. No, I'm going to the field. And instead, oh, why don't we just kill these messengers instead? And in that culture, the messenger represented the message and the one who sent it. So killing the slave was just like killing the king. It was treasonous for them to do this. And now comes the second shocking part. Because we are good Christians and we're used to hearing nice, lovely things, especially when we think that the king in this story would be God, who then goes about destroying the city and basically leveling everything and all those horrible people. Well, that's uncomfortable. Didn't tell that part in the children's sermon this morning, and I bet they're not bringing that up in children's church today. But then he goes, third shocking part, and invites everybody. The good and the bad, whether you ought to be there or not, whether you deserve it or whether you don't, whether you are considered socially acceptable or not, doesn't matter. Everybody gets to come. And they do. They know their place. They show up. The very last people that anybody would expect to be invited, they did show up. But then is the weird part at the end. The people that showed up, and they were all happy to be there, and it was a great party. But then there's this one guest that didn't have on the wedding garment. And he said, why aren't you wearing this? And then he cast them out where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. And I was talking with somebody about this recently, and they said, well, I don't like that because it sounds like, I mean, this poor guy, maybe he couldn't afford it. That's not the case. Because what the wedding garment is, it was one of two things. Either A, it was a garment that the host provided for everyone there, or B, it was just a person's best. And, you know, that's a sliding scale, right? I mean, you wouldn't expect a movie star to come wearing this as their best, but you wouldn't expect, you know, me to be able to dress like a movie star. I mean, it's a sliding scale, but you were expected to, you know, clean up a little bit before you showed up for the king's son's wedding. And this guy didn't. Also shocking. But once again, what's shocking to us is the way he's treated for not showing up looking right. And so this is a whole story filled with nothing but shock value. And here's the reality. Let me tell you about the shocking part about this story to us today. See, for them, Jesus was telling this, again, as we've been going along, Jesus is telling this to the Jewish authorities. And this is right before his crucifixion. And so basically, he's just telling them once again, look, God came to you, invited you to the party, and you didn't come. And so, city's leveled. Which, by the way, in 70 AD, Jerusalem was leveled. And Matthew came out after that. But he brought in the good and the bad. Very surprising for God because we think that God only loves the good, especially in Jewish theology. But then you have the one person that's thrown out. For us, where's grace in that? What's going on? And so this is still shocking to us today. But let me tell you what it means to us today. Because we are the people expected to go. And do we show up? Well, y'all did. Thank you. Thank you for showing up today. And you folks online, thank you for showing up as well. Thank you for being here. But how many folks didn't? So do I think God's going to go and burn their house down today? No. But I think it's important to note that God invites us. And there is an expectation of showing up. But not only does God invite the people that we would expect, but God invites us too. So we're also the second round of people, right? We're the Gentiles. We're the imperfect people. We're the fallen, broken people that God invites despite our sinfulness, despite the fact that we're not really worthy. God still invites us. And that is a great gospel message that you and I are invited. We are invited to the kingdom. Whether we're good or bad, whether we're young or old, whatever it is, we are invited. God invites you and God invites me. And that is a glorious message to us all. That is gospel. That is grace. That is hope and that is salvation. You and I are invited. And that, my friends, should be the most shocking thing that you hear today. That Jesus Christ died for your sins. That God invites you to come to the heavenly party. Not because of anything that you've done. Not because of how good you are. Not because of how holy you are. Simply because God loves you and invites you. And it's so compelling that we can't help but show up. So we do. We show up for God. But now here's the part that I think has often been misunderstood throughout the ages. The part about the guy who wasn't wearing the wedding robe. I think years and years and years ago, well, okay, let me start here. If your grandparents hopped into a time machine and showed up to church today, how many of your grandparents would be mortified by what you're wearing to church right now? Every person in this room, especially this service, right? Because it's a much more casual service. I went out and I looked at that picture, the black and white picture that's right there. I counted over the age of like 10, four men that were not wearing ties. And I kind of wondered if that's just because they'd already taken them off. Well, and two of them were still boys. They were probably like still kind of young, but the littlest, the toddlers, they didn't wear ties, but all the girls had dresses. A lot of the guys wore hats, all the women had hats, and not a one of them was wearing pants. Some of them used to wear gloves to church because that's what was expected. I mean, when I was a kid, it was the coat thing had kind of left a little bit, but you were still wearing a tie. And so, you know where all that came from? It came from this parable right here. Because why? Because that guy did not show up in his Sunday best, and so he was thrown out into the outer darkness where there was weeping and gnashing of teeth. Simply put, God sent him to hell for not wearing a suit to church. Yeah, I don't think that's what this means. I don't think that's what this means at all. I think what it's saying here is there's an expectation of stepping up. It's not a high bar. I mean, all this guy had to do was just change clothes. And he refused to do it. He didn't want to. He didn't feel like it. And so what he basically said was, I don't care anything about your invitation. I showed up for the food, but not for you. And so what does it say to God when we just show up for the food and not for him? When we just say, yeah, I'll be there, but that's about it. Yeah, I believe, but our faith ends there. I mean, what does that say to God? The God who invites us in spite of ourselves, the God who saves us, the God who sent his son to die for us. What does it say when we just say, yeah, I don't feel like that today? Yeah. I'm not really going to go out of my way to help somebody out. No, you know what? I'd rather, you know, not give money to the church today. No, You know what? I think I'm not going to go to that covered dish dinner. I'm not going to serve on any committee. I'm not going to be an acolyte or a crucifer. I'm not really going to do anything because I just don't feel like it, and that's okay. I think what this parable says is that's probably not okay. Because God loves you beyond measure. Enough to give his life for you. That deserves some sort of a response. God's not asking you to flip your whole life upside down or do anything like that. He just wants a simple wedding robe put on. Just do something. Step up. That's one of our six signs of living up there. Step up. Do something. Serve somebody. Help out. Make a donation. Do something for the God who loves you, who invites you. Do something. Faith is not, I mean, we worry about the formality of our clothing, but we've turned it into an informal faith. It's just something on the back burner that we get to choose whether or not we're actually going to participate in. But it's not a it's not a question of having to. It's a question of getting to. We get to respond to the invitation. We get to respond to our faith. We are called to step up for God. You know, in today's world, there's an expectation of Christians. That expectation is that we talk a lot. We're judgmental. We're elitist. We're not really welcoming. You know, we talk a good game, but we're more about telling other people why they don't belong instead of saying who does. Maybe it's time that we shock the world and actually do something. That we actually step up and live out our faith. That we do what God is calling us to do, that we help other people, and that we sacrifice our time, our money, our effort. What happens if we actually put on the robe that we're called to do and bear the fruit of faith that we're called to bear? Let me tell you, folks, you want some shock value? That would shock the world. Let's go do that. Amen.